Welcome back. Thank you, Carlita, for ringing the bell. And that is one of my favorite sounds, that bell in particular. So thank you. And just a deep welcome back to everyone. Anyone who's joined, welcome. And as I mentioned before, we'll just move right into the sit. So I'm going to invite each of us to allow the body to come into a posture that feels supportive. And as I mentioned before, this may be a sitting practice, or the body may need to remain lying down, or to lie down, or standing. And wanting to cultivate an energetic availability to the practice. And these are noble teachings, right? The Four Noble Truths, they are ennobling in terms of these practices allow us to move in the world with an open heart within our own integrity. So to allow there to be an embodiment of that sense, whether it's real or imagined, drawing it in, a sense of allowing the body to drop into its own nobility. Yeah. That word may have a charge that I don't mean to have, but let's go with integrity and heart. As Jack Kornfield says, I don't know if he still does, but used to always say, so we're taking our place halfway between heaven and earth. And I love this invitation. Again, as I mentioned before, kind of rooting in to the earth, if it's helpful to imagine having these deep roots from our feet into loamy soil of the earth beneath us, allowing ourselves again to anchor into the earth, receiving the earth's energies, allowing ourselves to feel connected, a part of the earth beneath us and the natural world around us, while simultaneously allowing our bodies also to sort of reach up to the heavens, yeah, embracing the energies of space and possibility. And for the anchor of this first Thursday sit of the new year, I'm going to stay with the elements. Those of you who know me know this is a favorite practice of mine. And so this first stay with the earth element, again, it's a practice I use all the time as a way of grounding, rooting in the body. So if it's helpful to call to mind an image of an earth element, for those of you at home in the Bay Area, you know, it might be Mount Tamalpais, Rainier, for those of you in the Pacific Northwest, or another mountain form, for those of you in the mountainous regions, those of us in Florida, not so much. So the earth element, maybe the trees around us, or just simply the earth beneath us, rocks. Something that allows us in an image, a sense of solidity in place. So it is outside the world, so it is external, so it is within this fathom long form of ours. So with an image of a mountain or a stone or a hillside or the earth beneath us, so too can we connect to the earth's energies in our own body through the bones. Yeah, the relative stillness of our bones. I like to call up an image of my skeleton, the skull, the jawbone, the vertebrae, clavicle, rib cage, pelvic bowl, the long bones of the arms and the legs, the tiny bones in the hands and feet. And just allowing myself to just rest in these bones, the relative stillness of the bones made of the same stuff as the earth element of the earth beneath us. We are not separate. We are a part of, yeah, this animal body of ours. Well, can we take a moment to intentionally direct our attention to this relative stillness of the bones? Again, if it's helpful to have an image of the earth, of an earth element picture. And just stay here. The mind does what it does. It may be pulling you off in different directions. Okay. I will note now, because it sometimes comes up when I do a longer guided meditation. So people just get irritated with my voice, and I just welcome you to just turn the volume down. Like, don't even worry about it. If you want silence, it's the beauty of online. Just, you can mute my voice. And for those of you who have not muted my voice, just to stay with this earth element. Nowhere else to be. Yeah. Can we rest in the bones, rest in the relative stillness of this earth element beneath us and within us in these bones of ours? And not worrying about what the thinking mind is doing. Yeah. To keep directing the attention back into the body. Okay, it's thinking, it's all over the place. Okay. Can we bring the attention back into feeling the bones? If it's helpful, if the hands are holding each other, bones holding each other. If the hands are on the legs, the bones of the hand resting upon the thigh bone. Yeah. And some of you may want to stay just right here in this earth element for the remainder of the sit, resting in the bones, resting in the relative stillness of these bones that are resting upon this earth beneath us, allowing ourselves just to ground, drop in, ground. Ruth King's beautiful teachings on the elemental expression of equanimity. So the equanimity that can come from this grounded, steady earth element. Yeah. So again, you might want to stay here with the earth element, or you might want to change the channel for an image to play with the water element in the Bay Area. There's a lot of earth element, water element happening, yeah, with all the rains, and definitely elsewhere in the States that are dealing with water, the water element. Our bodies, about 76% water, I believe. The brain is 85% water. The earth is 78% water. Where I am in Florida, it's not on the coast, but there's a lot of water around. So conjuring an image, if it's helpful, of a body of water, a river, a mountain stream, the ocean, a canal. Almost magical powers of water to keep moving, yeah, over and through rocks, creating valleys and canyons. The flow keeps going. Yeah. So too, within our own form, we have this water element that we can feel in our mouth, saliva, the moistness in our eyes, imagining the flow of blood and other fluids. This body of ours is constantly in flow. And again, to draw from Ruth King's teachings on this, the expression of equanimity through this flow, yeah, the flow of the water in and around rocks, the flow of our blood, allowing ourselves to feel this elemental, almost primal force within this form of ours that's so connected to the earth around us. We are not separate. So imagining or feeling into this water element of flow and fluidity, confidence of this water element. Imagining, if it's helpful, that that quality of an equanimity expression, being in flow, yeah, with whatever comes. So there's the earth element, the water element. Some of you might want to stay here. Or shift to the fire element. You can feel this as the sun, the felt sense of a warm sun on a cool day. Seeing if you can feel into that sensation, the heat of the sun on your face, or the warmth of a fire. Those of us that we imagine us all sitting together around a bonfire, which in my imaginings I hope will happen one day. Feeling the heat, the warmth, the glow of the fire. So it is externally, so too that heat element within our own body. So noting the presence and absence of heat. If your hands or feet are cold, if there's that movement of heat that can come in flashes or not. I'm just taking a moment to notice, again, where there's heat in the body, where there's an absence of heat. Connecting in with a known felt sensation of the sun or the fire element. Again, as it is externally, so it is within. Shifting again, if you want, to the element of wind, right? This is the life force, the breath, the movement of the breath in and out. Through the nose, the mouth, the rising of the chest, the expansion of the belly, this precious gift of the wind element. For some of us, it's easy. For others of us, it is not. And wind, we can experience the sound of wind, the rustling of the wind through trees. We can see it on a hillside, how the grasses move, again, the leaves move. We don't necessarily see it unless it's in contact with something else, right? So this wind element around us is also within us. Can we align ourselves with these elemental forces? Mind does what it does. Okay, sweetie, rest here in this awareness of the wind element. One breath in, one breath out. Having a picture in the mind's eye, if it's helpful, of wind on a hillside or wind tussling aspen leaves. Shifting for the last time, the element of space. No matter where we are, there is always more space than anything else. The image of the vast blue sky above, or the expanse of the ocean horizon of standing on the beach, that's a lot of space, right? So it is externally, can we imagine that sense of spaciousness within this body of ours, space between the cells and the organs and the muscles and the tissue and the fascia, right? Can we imagine inviting in a sense of spaciousness through the shoulders, the neck, the forehead, the jaw, the chest, the belly? Again, aligning ourselves with this elemental force of spaciousness. Space can hold all things. That too has that quality of equanimity, equanimous feeling. Oh yeah, there's space for this too. This sangha that stretches from the Pacific Northwest, often our Dharma sisters in Canada, to Mexico, throughout the US, into Europe, that's a lot of space. Can you avail yourself of this space that is here supporting us and rest in this spaciousness? And for the second half of the sit, just invite you to perhaps play with one or two of these elements by either directing the attention to one element in particular, or having that open-ended attention to see which element most resonates with where you are. Again, if we think about the element as an expression of equanimity, what might serve you most in terms of aligning with the fluidity of water, the groundedness of earth, the heat of the fire, that movement of the wind, the spaciousness of the blue sky? Please remember, there's no such thing as a bad sit. We come, we take our seats, we see what happens. Thanks. so lovely to sit together. So again, Happy New Year. I wanted to play around in the realm of New Year-ness today. And I'm aware last time we met, we had a sort of celebrating an early solstice. And on the actual solstice, sort of my own doing a ritual on solstice sort of felt like the beginning of the new year in many ways. But I'm aware, at least for myself, with all of the energies of the holidays, and for some of us, they might have been wonderful and exhilarating, and for others, that might have been burdensome and lonely. However the holidays were, often they're challenging, even in the best of ways. But I know for myself, there's a part of like, ooh, okay, I can kind of get back a little bit into a different rhythm. So the sense of not so much the import of the turning over from December 31st to January 1st, but more, okay, here we're perhaps feeling a little bit able to settle in. And in so doing, what do we want? You know, we do have, whether it's however artificial it may seem, we are on the cusp of a new beginning. And in many ways, that happens every day, right? And some of the Tibetan teachers talk about there's sort of a death every night. As we fall into sleep, there's a death there, and then a waking up, a rebirth in the morning, which is a beautiful way of framing a day and the possibilities that can come with that rebirth every day. And how do we harness that energy that some of us may feel and some of us may not feel, but we are just again on this cusp of a new beginning of a new year. And what might we aspire to? And the aspiration, which can have the word spirit is in there, the quality, both capital A aspiration, reaching for the stars kind of sense. And then also just on the day-to-day, more mundane. I will share, those of you who know me, I've shared this before. In Buddhist psychology, there are three kind of main types. There's a greed type, which is you walk into a room, you're like, oh, that is so nice. I want that. Oh, that's so nice. The aversive type, which is like, that picture's crooked and that crack needs caulking. And a deluded type, which walks in and be like, what painting? Didn't see it. I'm very solidly in the greed type, which can be fun. And also, as I, in the last 2 weeks, kind of weighing in, what are my aspirations? I've signed up for a lot of classes, which may or may not pan out. But that desire of connecting in these classes and wanting to talk today about what most do we want to look forward to, lean into, aspire to, set intentions for this, in some ways, again, artificial, perhaps, blank slate that we have in front of us. And to be able to use the teachings of the practice of opening the heart and stilling the mind to guide us to be able to anchor whatever these aspirations, kind of the large aspirations, the moonshot, and the intentions that can perhaps be more grounding to guide us into this new year. So I'm going to share a few poems. In some ways, this is from Shantideva, and some of you may be very familiar with this prayer, but this in some ways is the grandest moonshot of it all. And from Shantideva, and this is not the version, but the Dalai Lama is said to recite this every day. So, may I become at all times, both now and forever, a protector for those without protection, a guide for those who have lost their way, a ship for those with oceans to cross, a sanctuary for those in danger, a lamp for those in the dark, a servant to all those in need. As long as living beings exist and suffering afflicts them, may I too abide to dispel the misery of the world. May I be a guard for those who need protection, a guide for those on the path, a boat, a raft, a bridge for those who wish to cross the flood. May I be a lamp in the darkness, a resting place for the weary, a healing medicine for all who are sick, a vase of plenty, a tree of miracles. And for the boundless multitudes of living beings, may I bring sustenance and awakening, enduring like the earth and sky until all beings are freed from sorrow and all are awakened. And as we then went, but let's just stop here. That just seems like a complete and utterly succinct both aspiration and teachings by this Bodhisattva vow. And again, there are very many versions of this, particularly like this one, and how beautiful that aspiration of may I be a ship, a boat, a raft, a guide for those who wish to cross the flood. That line in particular, I love because of the book I quote from so often, Ajahn Suchito's Crossing the Floods, that speaks to the paramis, the qualities of the heart, the perfections of the heart. And it's through this doorway of working to free ourselves from the hindrances that block our connection to our deepest heart's aspirations, our heart's wisdom, the clarity of a still mind, that we are then able to embody this style of aspiration. Yeah. When we can line ourselves up with our heart's intention, guided or supported by a steady mind and a sense of embodiedness, connection to our own body, it's like, you know, that's it. You know, if we can line that up with those three qualities, there's nothing we can't do. You know, in some ways I say that regardless of like life circumstances, for many stuff, which can kind of suck. So it's, there are life circumstances, some which you can change, some we cannot. Okay, this is true. And so much of these teachings point to, okay, whatever's happening externally, through these teachings, perfections of the heart, identifying a sense that, oh yeah, as we incarnate into this human form, it's kind of going to suck. There's going to be suffering of all kinds. Okay, there are causes for that suffering, right? The degree to which we want, or push away. There are ways to corral or pay attention to end that craving or pushing away. And then the fourth noble truth, like he lays out the eightfold path, intention. I'm not going to go through them all right now, but this way of a very clear map to be able to guide ourselves with the help of teachers and wise ones to be able to find our true home. And I know I've said this before, but I think this is in some ways the primary teachings that all the 84,000 Dharma doors really allow us, depending on whichever ones we walk through, to come back home. What I so love about the Buddhist teachings is this innate, the conviction, the confidence in our innate goodness. I grew up Catholic and... Those of you who also grew up Catholic, it was a lot of you're going to hell and being bad right from the get-go. First communion helps you out. Baptism helps you out. But that line of going to hell in my childhood loomed large. And in these teachings where it's like, oh, we assume you're good. We know it's true. There's just things that get in the way. These hindrances, the way the heart contracts, the way the mind... Oh my gosh, the way the mind can really lead us astray. And of late, the last couple of months in this class, and then also in my own practice, really working with the mind to be able to consistently be able to see the shamelessness, the unreliability of the thoughts, being able to find that space of, oh, I am not my thoughts. I was listening to where I saw speaking. Saying like we see something and we don't identify like, oh, I see that, that's me. Or I smell that and that's me. But with thoughts, we can think like, oh, this is true. And the conviction and this constriction that we can have around a thought of like, this is true. And therefore, da, 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 da. And again, being able to, as we just did for half an hour, perhaps you did the elemental meditation or not, but just the stillness to watch, this is what the mind does. Okay. And in that observing, we can make choices. Do I want to go down this road or not? All of which, again, is in the service of being able to drop into a clarity of the heart's intention. It may not be to aspire to be a ship for those with oceans to cross, or to be a healing medicine for all those who are sick, or to be a guard for all those who need protection. But it might have some flavor of that, right? Again, because that's the heart's natural inclination. Yeah. From Ellen Bass. I've shared this before, but I do love it. If you knew Ellen Bass. What if you knew you'd be the last to touch someone? If you were taking tickets, for example, at the theater, tearing them and giving them back the ragged stubs, you might take care to touch that palm, brush your fingertips along the lifeline's crease. When a man pulls his wheeled suitcase too slowly through the airport, when the car in front of me doesn't signal, or when the clerk at the pharmacy won't say thank you, I don't remember they're going to die. A friend told me she had been with her aunt. They just had lunch, and the waiter, a young gay man with plum black eyes, joked as he served coffee, kissed her aunt's powdered cheek when they left. Then they walked half a block, and her aunt dropped dead on the sidewalk. How close does a dragon's spum have to come? How wide does the crack in heaven have to split? What would people look like if we could see them as they are, soaked in honey, stung and swollen, reckless, pinned against time? That's us, right? We are pinned against time. The clock is ticking. Death is coming. It's on our shoulder. And it's easy to live in denial of that. And yet, when we allow the truth of any time, there can be a beautiful clarity. Let's not waste any more time. Right. And how I hope in the course of this talk, can we find a way to get clear about, if we can agree, let's not waste time. But let's also get clear about what we really want to, how we really want to show up. I was going to say what we want to do, but that's not right. Because the doing, and we're such a culture, at least in the dominant culture, of like doing and this and accomplishments and resumes and all this stuff. And as I mentioned, like I signed up for all these different classes, the doing, it can be really external. It can pull us out. And so really the question of more like, how do we stay rooted in the body? In this core elemental form, to remember, oh, the heart's desire with this quiet mind. Okay, how do we want to show up? Again, because external circumstances, they're going to be good and sometimes they're going to be terrible. That's a given. Some of it we can control, most of it not so much. Okay, the givens. So then how do we want to show up? How do we want to show up? Hold out your hand. Julia Fennenbrocker. And all of these poems are in the references, so don't worry about catching them. Let's forget the world for a while. Fall back and back into the hush and holy of now. Are you listening? The breath invites you to write the first word of your new story. Your new story begins with this. You matter. You are needed, empty and naked, willing to say yes and yes and yes. Do you see the sun shines day after day, whether you have faith or not? The sparrows continue to sing their song, even when you forget to sing yours. Stop asking, am I good enough? Ask only, am I showing up with love? Life is not a straight line. It's a downpour of gifts. Please, hold out your hand. I'm going to read one more poem and then do an exercise. Forgive all the shuffling. By one of my favorite sweet young poets, Sarah Kay. Still here. My grandmother's awake in bed. A language I don't understand runs circles around her head. Her words get jumbled on her lips and brought her out to play. I press my head against her chest and her heartbeat seems to stay still here, still here. You can miss me when I'm gone, but I'll keep holding on as long as I am still here. I've seen the fire, I've seen the storm. I took a stranger by the hand and tried to keep them warm. The buildings rolled and the rivers rose as the hands of gods and men. They break the city down to dust and well build back again. Still here, still here. They can give us all day, all they've got, but they won't destroy us, not as long as I'm still here. I've walked these shoes until they're thin. I've wandered halfway around the world and wandered back again. The road is long. The night is cold. When I'm out there on my own, your face lit by the hallway lamp is when I know I'm home. Still here. Still here. I can travel till I'm lost, but the fight is worth the cost as long as you are still here. Still here. The rider lies awake again. He knows that he's crossed to bear the pen. The paper in the pen. His time on earth is short. The end could be tonight. He doesn't fear the end of times. He fears he cannot write. Still here. Still here. I'm not afraid to move along. Here's a poem and a song to know that I'm still here. And wanting to play with this juxtaposition of our allowing ourselves to feel like we are here. We have the great good fortune to be together on this Thursday morning, afternoon, evening. We are still here. So while we are still here, let's not waste time, right? How close to the dragon's fume do we have to come? Right. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And just to feel into that sense of, I am still here. I am in this body. And it may be, again, helpful, hand to the heart, hand to the belly, feet on the floor. We are here. I hear Maya Angelou's voice, like, still I rise. We are here. Ask not, am I good enough? Ask, how do I want to show up? And can we listen to the heart for answers? You know, and the 10 perfections of the heart, the qualities of perfection include metta, loving kindness, equanimity, patience, wisdom, resolve, effort, patience, energy, the wise use of energy. We can include the Brahma Viharas, the divine abodes, loving kindness and equanimity, compassion and joy, the cousins there of gratitude, forgiveness, humor, joy. If you allow yourself to drop in, perhaps sit beside your heart to check in, what are the qualities that will guide you to show up in the world as you most want to show up? How do you want to live? What guides you? Pulling in integrity. Yeah. Trustworthiness. Humor. Ease. The clock is ticking. We are still here. How do you want to show up for yourself, moment by moment? How do you want to work with those thoughts that might tell you you're not good enough? Or play in that realm of comparing and judging mind that can leave you weak in the knees? How can we say no, no more? I don't believe that. To stand in our own goodness, to feel the confidence of our goodness beneath us, that's the truth that we can stand upon. Ask not, am I good enough? Only ask, am I showing up with love? Each of us may have a different manifestation of that love. All of us have that power within us. And sometimes it just gets clouded over. So can you give yourself the gift of really feeling the strength of your own heart, the strength of your own goodness, buoyed by these different qualities of the heart, the perfections, the 10 perfections, the 4 Brahma Viharas, whatever other qualities of heartfulness come to mind. Courage, tenacity, faith, beauty. Allowing yourself to rest upon a few words, say, this is me. This is what's true. This is how, when I show up unbound by the hindrances, by the clinging, by the aversion, this is me. This is the expression of goodness in my heart. This is how I manifest my own goodness in the world. This is how I want to show up on January 5th, on January 6th, on August 27th, and so on. Can you allow yourself to rest here? To feel into the goodness. If that doesn't quite fit, then to imagine it. Yeah. Imagine with all the support of the nature around you and the Sangha beside you. Your own goodness and how you might answer that question, am I showing up with love? And what might that look like? To feel into the posture of that, to feel into the gated walk of that. If you are showing up with love, how do you move in the world, connect with your loved ones, connect with the strangers, engage with the work that you do, and engage with yourself. If you were to meet yourself each moment with a sense of love, what might that feel like? What might that feel like in the cells, in the muscles, in the fascia, in the bones? This is your birthright. Okay, my dears, I'm going to stop here. And thank you so much for your kind attention and staying with me. In our last little bit, if it's okay, I'm going to share one more thing. My abiding affection for John O'Donohue. This is his blessing for the new year. On the day when the weight deadens on your shoulders and you stumble, may the clay dance to balance you. And when your eyes freeze behind the gray window and the ghost of loss gets into you, may a flock of colors, indigo, red, green, and azure blue, come to awaken you in the meadow of delight. When the canvas sprays nakura of thought and a stain of ocean blackens beneath you, may there come across the waters a path of yellow moonlight to bring you safely home. May the nourishment of earth be yours. May the clarity of light be yours. May the fluency of the ocean be yours. May the protection of the ancestors be yours. And so may a slow wind work these words of love around you, an invisible cloak to mend your life. May this invisible cloak hold each of us until next week. Please come back next Thursday. Carlita, thank you so much for holding us so beautifully. And again, braving the elements to show up here. And just the deepest sense of gratitude to each of you all for being here. And please come back. So happy new year.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.